What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Parish Circuit. I'm Stuart Amidon, and today we have a special guest in the studio. Would you introduce yourself, please, Jamie?
Hi, I'm Jamie Cormier. I'm 33 years old, born and raised in Opelousas, Louisiana, my whole life.
Hey, and Jamie, we know each other from the internet, of all places.
Yeah, Facebook.
That's right. You do a lot of things on there. I see you're always promoting events that are going on. I saw you working with the Guns Down Power Up guys for a while. Is that still going on?
It's still going on. We were supposed to have an event this coming weekend, but things kind of fell apart. So. Yeah. We forgot to promote. Something happened last week, and it just kind of...
That happens.
Yeah.
That happens. That's okay.
Our heads weren't in the game.
That's okay. Well, so Jamie and I, we had an interaction on the internet most recently whenever we put out our podcast episode about the marijuana shop that was moving into town. And so as a result of that conversation, I believe that it's important for people to be able to have conversations, dialogues about things that are going on in our city, even if that means that they have a point of disagreement in those dialogues. That's totally fine. But I think that in order to make things better in the city of Opelousas and in St. Landry Parish, we have to be able to have conversations with the folks that might not hold to our views. Because I'm also, I'm a Christian. And so I believe at the end of the day, the truth is going to win.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's what I want to do. That's what I want to chase the truth. And one of the ways that you can head off rumors and stereotypes being developed about anyone is you can just talk openly about it and have a conversation with folks. So thank you so much, Jamie, for agreeing to come and hang out and talk for the next 20 minutes or so about marijuana and its implications and all those kinds of things. I really appreciate your time in doing this. So thank you.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay. So just to roll this back for everybody so they have the context, there is a medical marijuana pharmacy that is getting ready to open its doors inside of the city of Opelousas called the Apothecary Shop. And we released an episode about this because we didn't hear a lot of conversation about it.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to kind of say, hey, this is happening, just in case anybody wants to know about it, just in case anybody wants to think something about it or move on it. And then we also got the opportunity to express our opinions on it. My specific opinion is one of... this might be a problem, you know, I see indications of that. And so we released our episode and you and I interacted a little bit on the internet about it. And you were like, hey, I don't think this is a problem. And so I wanted to invite you to come and kind of talk more about that. So Jamie, tell me why you think that having the apothecary shop open in Opelousas is not a bad idea. Let's talk through that.
Okay. Well, for people who don't know me, I have been disabled my entire life since birth, but my pain didn't really start till 2012 after surgery.
So relatively recent, so within the last 12 years or so.
Yeah, give or take.
Okay.
Now, my dad claims I had pain before that, but it was a different type of pain.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when you're a child, you kind of learn a tolerance.
Right.
Whereas when you go under the knife and they put you on the pain pills, you kind of lose that pain tolerance.
Okay.
And
and what, if you don't, is it okay if I ask what types of surgery? Is that okay?
It was a scoliosis spinal fusion.
Okay. I got it.
And mine was so severe, nobody in Louisiana wanted to touch it.
Whoa.
To St. Louis, Missouri.
Missouri?
Yep. St. Louis, Missouri.
For a back surgery.
Well, I did 7.5 months halo traction first, and then 2.5 months of surgery and recovery.
Holy smokes. So nearly a year.
Pretty much.
You were in Missouri.
Yes. St. Louis is basically my second home.
you have friends there now.
Family and friends. I call them family.
Hey, there you go. That's awesome.
They did that tough love on me, like family.
Yeah, because then you had to do like PT and all that stuff too, I'm sure, huh?
Yep, respiratory therapy, all that.
Okay, I got you. So you went and did that, and as a result of your surgery, you had some pretty significant pain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when the weather changes. The joke with my dad, I tell him, I was like, I don't remember asking to be a human barometer. and he said, yeah, it was in the fine print of your surgery paperwork. And I'm like, nobody asked you, peanut gallery.
So it's like pressure related then.
Yeah.
You notice when there's a change in the barometric pressure, yes, you'll have more or less pain.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I understand.
Yes.
And so you had that procedure, and after that, you dealt with some residual pain. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And
so this is a, I'm sorry, let me, I want to just review here. So you had 7 months of halo. Now, what is halo?
They take this metal ring that's called a halo, and they fuse it to your head.
Oh, wow.
And then they do a pulley to a walker or wheelchair, and it just stretches you out.
Stretches your back out?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Okay, was that painful in and of itself? So that sounds painful.
When you first start it is painful, but the longer you're in it, the patients actually prefer it because it takes the pressure off your back.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating. Okay, so they had to do that for 8 months.
Seven and a half. Yeah.
You know, I like to round off.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then you had the procedure,
yes,
the actual surgery.
Yes.
And then there was 2.5 months of recovery, which is, I'm imagining, physical therapies involved, general recovery,
yeah,
all that kind
and
of stuff.
And then when I got back home, I had to do more physical therapy.
So how long did that go on?
Up until August 2013.
Holy smokes. Okay, so we're talking more than a year here.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this is a huge, huge undertaking. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. All right. So you went through all of that, and then what?
Well, fast forward to 2017, I think. I had a wound on my back that started up and turned
from the surgery?
Well, it was actually a rod that had broke.
Oh, my gosh.
That we didn't really notice.
Yeah.
I mean, when we finally noticed it, it was like an inch or two away from poking out of my skin.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. And we didn't notice it until like a year after the wound. Like, it would close most of the way and then reopen.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
we just kept fighting with it for like a year. And then that's what really made me get back on the pain medicine.
Was the wound.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
Because with the physical therapy, I had kind of built my strength back up.
Yes. Okay, I gotcha.
And then I had to get back on the pain medicine because of the wound.
Yeah, yeah.
And after that, it's just like I haven't been able to get off of the pain medicine.
Because it's just been residual.
Yeah.
Like, the pain has been residual.
Yeah.
I would imagine so. And when we're talking about pain medicine, tell me, you know, if you don't want to answer any of these questions,
yeah,
you have that liberty completely in and of yourself. But when we're talking about pain medicine, are we talking about like oxycodone, like heavy hitting painkillers? Like, what are we talking about?
They had me on hydrocodone for a while.
Okay.
But that involved me going to my pain management doctor once a month. Whereas when he switched me to Tramadol, that's a little less addictive or... Not nearly as...
Tramadol. That's like... I think I've heard of that before. That's like high-powered Tylenol, isn't it? Is that correct?
Yeah, kind of like that. So that one, I could skip a month with him, like go every 2 months instead.
Okay.
Because he's way in Vidalia.
Oh, dang. Okay, yeah. So not a quick trip.
No.
Okay, I got you. So pain was becoming a huge deal.
Yeah.
You had to be on pretty decent... medications,
yeah,
to be able to deal with it. Eventually they got scaled down, sort of, but even then it's still a high powered medicine. Okay, so then what happened?
Well, last year my pain was getting to the point where I was not sleeping.
It would keep you up at night.
Yeah, so my pain management doctor put me back on hydrocodone as a breakthrough if the Tramadol wasn't working.
So you're...
He gave me 2 medicines.
So help me understand. So a breakthrough means you're taking something else. If it's not strong enough,
right,
then you supplement,
right,
with this other medicine.
Right.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah. And then just a few months ago, I went back to him and thought I was getting some sleep, but I was still having a lot of pain.
Mm.
And the thing about the Tramadol and the hydrocodone is once I take that, I'm out for the count. I'm asleep.
So he
suggested medical marijuana.
Okay.
And at first, all I knew was the smoking, and my lungs are
so. So not that.
No. Actually, my lungs were crushed before surgery, so that's why my lungs are.
Oh, my gosh.
Before my surgery in 2012, my lungs were only 18 to 20% lung capacity.
They were, what, why? Why?
Because the way my back was curved, they were just crushing.
Oh, I see. I see. I see. And so your surgery opened those back up again for you, or?
I got my numbers doubled, so 40-ish.
So 40% functionality. Yeah. So smoking is not an option for you then?
No.
So what did they say? What did they say to do?
They said there's the oils that you could rub on your joints.
Oh, it's like THC oils.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Or, does that help?
I haven't done that yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then he suggested edibles.
Okay. Okay.
And I did try an edible and it relaxed me. So I've been able to cut down my pain medicine.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think, so when you say, help me understand when you say it relaxed me, does that mean, cause I know the way that painkillers work is they remove the pain.
Yeah.
You say the edible relaxed you. Does that just mean the pain's still there, you just care less? Is that kind of the situation?
No.
Because that happened to me once. Yeah. I went to the hospital for kidney stones, yeah. And I don't know what they gave me. They gave me some shot, and whatever it was, everything still hurt. Yeah. I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah. No, whenever the edible first kicks in, it relaxes me, because when I'm hurting, my body tenses up. So it relaxes me at first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then as it gets deeper into the duration, it eventually takes the pain.
Yeah, and then eventually it fades or it goes away?
It fades.
Okay, good.
And at that point, even with like just a fourth of an edible, I can still function. I'm not asleep.
As opposed to the other things, right. Which when you would take those, you were asleep. Like, yeah. It was knocking you out.
Like, with an edible, I could probably still do some at-home work.
Uh-huh.
Whereas if I just did the Tramadol and hydrocodone.
You just go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had some friends who have been on the high-powered painkillers at times. And that has been the effect that they've dealt with, too. Whenever they take a big dose.
Yeah.
They're sleeping. Doesn't matter if it's 1 p.m.
Yeah.
They're out, and they're out until sometimes the next day.
Yeah.
And it becomes quite something extreme. So that's fascinating. So you don't use, you said like sometimes you just use like a fourth of one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got you. And how long does it last? How long does the relief last?
It just depends on the edible you try. Like I've tried a brownie.
Oh, okay, okay.
And that one, you really can't let it soak in your gums, whereas a gummy, if you crush it up like a peppermint and you let it soak into your gums, it'll last longer.
Oh, okay, okay, I see. And when you say longer, quantify that in hours.
5 to 7.
Oh, wow, so it'll last you a while.
At least for me, it may be for different people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tiny, so.
Yeah, so it's different. This is not a doctor's podcast, and we are not recommending dosages. You know, heads up. Okay, well, that's cool. So you have found actual relief, and it's edibles. So when you say edibles, is it the actual plant, or is it like just THC extract?
It's basically THC infused into whatever you get, like
whatever you get.
Yeah.
So you're buying made brownies, yeah. And they'll sell those. Okay, I got you. And you're buying made, like you're not making gummies in your kitchen or anything like that. Like they have. Okay, I understand. Yeah. I understand. So you're actually experiencing relief, mm-hmm. And it sounds like the situation that you were dealing with was, I mean, huge. Okay, you basically had pre-surgery, surgery, and recovery that took a whole year of your life to be able to accommodate it.
Yeah.
And it also sounds like even the post-surgery situation was pretty traumatic in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like a rod broke and is trying to come out.
Yeah.
Like that's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's stuff that you see in scary movies.
Yeah.
You know, like that's like alien level stuff. You got to watch out for that. So I think that this would require a point of clarification. So I do think that marijuana or THC products can be utilized in medical instances. I have no qualms with that. Yeah. Like, I think that's fine. I think that's, in fact, what medical practice does is we look out throughout God's creation, a good medical practice. Yeah. I should say it that way. I think a good medical practice, a good medical industry would look out through God's creation and say, what tools has he given with for us to deal with the fall, to deal yeah. with sickness? You know, how has God purposed ways and mechanisms for us to be able to heal ourselves and recover? What has he done? How has he helped us? How has he equipped us? So I don't believe that any and all use of any marijuana product or THC product is wrong. I don't think that.
Yeah.
And I do think that there are proper medical applications of
yeah.
it. I think that's absolutely true too. And I mean, Stuart is not a doctor. Okay.
Yeah.
But I hear your story and I'm like, well, that makes sense.
you yeah.
know, like this seems like a viable and a good reason to have an application like this.
Yeah.
My hesitation is the high degree of ease of access that a facility like this yeah. would provide. That's the part that makes me say, hey guys, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
This seems like this could become a danger to us.
Yeah.
Because whenever we read through the requirements and the qualification process and all that stuff, it really, at the end of the day, looked like anybody
yeah.
could go on the website and get medical marijuana the next day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And there are, I would say, just like any, like you were talking about, oxycodone, was it oxycodone?
Hydrocodone.
Okay, I'm going to keep screwing that up, so please keep me on the right page. We were talking about that earlier, and even in that, there are addictive properties.
Yeah.
Like that in and of itself is a highly regulated
drug. Yeah, there's the opioid epidemic.
That's right, and I have friends who got tied up in that, you know, and
yeah.
but that was back in the 90s. Whenever they were prescribing it like Advil,
yeah.
nobody thought anything of it. And now today we've realized, oh no, and now they've clamped down on it quite a bit. It's very,
yeah.
it's actually very, very difficult. You have to actually have a pain management doctor like you have in order to be able to acquire things like that. And they have to refer you and write prescriptions
yeah.
and all those kinds of things.
Even then, sometimes it's hard. Like through my pharmacy, my insurance only pays for a certain amount. Even though my doctor gives me more than what the pharmacy's willing to pay.
Oh,
so it still makes it difficult.
It's still hard for you to, yeah. So the opioid crisis is a great example of exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think that we're just swinging into another ditch,
yeah.
right? So we went from it being easy for folks to get opioids for it to be easy to people to get access to THC products.
Yeah.
And I think that's a danger.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So in the same sense that it was a danger for folks to have such easy access to painkillers, in the same sense right now that it's a danger, in my opinion,
yeah.
For folks to have such easy access to hormone and mood altering drugs,
yeah.
you know, because they can say, I'm dealing with anxiety. Well, don't worry, there's a pill for that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of studies coming out now about that crisis
yeah.
that's been going on in our country for the last 10 years. And we're just now starting to see the ramifications and the results of that. So that's really my point.
Yeah.
Point of clarification.
Yeah.
I don't think that any and all applications of marijuana or THC for medical purposes is bad.
Yeah.
I do think that the level of ease of access
yeah.
is a problem.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah, so yeah agreed. Okay, so we're on the same page
yeah.
there. See, look, that just happened.
Yeah.
Two people talked about something, and we found out that there's agreement.
Yeah. The way I look at life is there's good and bad in everything. Like,
yes.
if you look at coffee there or Coca-Cola.
As
or
I drink my cup of coffee, yes.
Yeah, that was that wasn't on purpose. There's people that are addicted to coffee.
That's
and there's
right.
people that are addicted to soda or
That's
junk
right.
food.
Yeah.
It's all about how it's used.
That's right. Yeah. And the principle is, you know, if we were to extract the biblical principle from the situation,
yeah.
it's everything in moderation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So somebody who enjoys cigars and has a cigar once or twice a month
yeah.
or something like that, That's one thing.
Yeah.
But the guy who's chain smoking and can't put it down, he's got a whole set of different problems, right? That's an addiction issue. That's now they've lost their self-control. Yeah. The same principle would apply to alcohol. Like you said, the same principle would apply to coffee, would apply to finances, spending money, you know, all those things. I mean,
there's people that are even addicted to video games where they just sit at home. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't go get a job and they just play video games all day.
Let's talk more about that, Jamie. Let's talk more about that another time. I agree totally. I am 100% on the same page with you. It has to do with if you've lost, you know, the Bible teaches us that Christians have the gift of self-control that's given to them by the Holy Spirit, but they have to stir it up. Paul says, you know, stir up the gift of self-control, fan the flames, he says, of the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. And so it's our job as people to practice those disciplines rather than giving ourselves over to a substance or an action or a video game. You know, like if you've lost control of yourself, you've strayed from the way of life that God has ordained for people to live in.
Yeah.
That's exactly 100% right. That's great. Yeah, no, I think that we've realized here in these few minutes that we've come to a lot closer of an agreement than maybe we thought we had on the front end. Yeah. So anything can be abused.
Yeah.
Agreed. God has given us good gifts for good purposes. And so we should say, Lord, what is the way in which we should order these gifts? And then go from there.
And then because we humans are born with original sin, we can corrupt them.
Oh, this just became a theology podcast here real fast. Just real fast landed in that. That's right. Our sinful hearts will twist and contort anything. And so we have to, as Christians, say, Lord, what have you ordained for this to be used for? Yeah. And then work to obey. And if he says it in his word, then we say yes and amen. Like wine, God's given us wine.
Yeah.
The Bible describes wine and strong drink as a gift from God. It even has medical purposes, the Bible says. You know, we can take those principles and translate it into all kinds of things. But if you become a drunkard, now we got a problem.
Yeah.
Right? That now we've got a whole different category. That's sinful. The drunkard part, that's sinful. You're an addict. You need to deal with this and repent. But if you have wine, God's given us good gifts of wine, good gifts of strong drink that you can enjoy to his glory. Yeah. So let's do so. We can find ways to do that. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Jamie, thank you so much for coming to hang out. I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that we got to have this conversation. And hopefully it's edifying to some people out there on the internet.
Yep.
Any last thoughts you want to share with anybody?
Just y'all be safe this Halloween fall season and go have fun with your kids. That's what it's all about.
Thank you so much for coming out, Jamie. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Parish Circuit. You can find us anywhere that you find podcasts. And until next time, we'll see you later.